Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Saturday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Appreciate you guys being here to quote the one and only Cody Rhodes. So, what do you guys want to talk about? Obviously, quite the bombshell drop by Bill Huber on Friday night, writing an article on Sports Illustrated, basically going over the fact that Romeo Doubs is unhappy with his situation with the Green Bay Packers and did not report to practice on Thursday or Friday. A lot to break down. We will get into all of it in just a moment. That will be our main topic for today. Before we get there, quick shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day podcast members, Holmes MD1, Ryan McGinnis, and Ronald Vance. Thank you so much for signing up. If you haven't checked those out yet, make sure to do so. And I also want to tell you about Autograph. If you have not downloaded the Autograph app yet, do it. It is a one-stop shop for all things Packers, your favorite podcasts, your favorite articles and writers, everything that you consume from a Packers standpoint, in one easy and convenient spot. Plus, you get bonus content from yours truly and other great Packers content providers as well. This week, I had two episodes out there on Autograph exclusively, one going over the four changes that the Packers have to make, and two going over the three key matchups for Packers-Rams this week. So you can check that out on the Autograph app, download it today, and use code PACKADAY when doing so. Before we get to our main topic, of course, we need to go over the injury report as well for both the Rams and the Packers. Very important stuff, I think, for both sides. For the Rams, Cooper Kupp is out. So is Laurel Murchison, who is working to come back from the PUP list. Now, if you're not seeing Puka Nacua on the injury list, just remember he's on IR. They don't need to list him. He's out for this game as well. So huge news in general. And we sort of knew this, but Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp not going to be playing in this game. They did get some good news, though, on the Rams side of things. Darius Williams, their really good outside cornerback, is back. He is likely going to play in his first game this season against the Packers. He was a full participant, and that would be a huge win for that Rams secondary. From a Packers standpoint, Devontae Wyatt is out. No surprise there. Did not practice all week long. Was seen in the walking boot and with a crutch after the game last week. He was not expected to play. So that is not, again, out of the realm of, or just like it came out of nowhere or anything like that. So he is out for this game. Doubtful. Romeo Doubs, which again, we'll talk about more in just a moment. Christian Watson, if anything here, doubtful seems very positive for Christian Watson. Now, I think there's truly 0% chance that he actually plays in this one, but just the fact that he's not completely and utterly out would lend me to believe that, again, maybe it's at least closer than maybe we expected, and maybe he could be back a week from now, which would be amazing, but doubtful for Watson. And again, likely without both Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs for this game. Questionable are Jair Alexander, Edgerrin Cooper, Jonathan Ford trying to come back from the PUP list, the IR list designated to return, I should say. Elton Jenkins, Jordan Morgan, Luke Musgrave, and Carrington Valentine. And then two players who practiced in full, which are kind of important, Jordan Love and Kenny Clark. So they were full go, no issues, not listed on the injury report with any designation. So that was great. And again, we should see those guys back. Now, as far as who we should expect from this list of questionable players, there's always layers to this. So again, Wyatt's out, Watson and Doubs, they're doubtful, but in all actuality, I would be shocked if they're not out for this one. There are three players who are questionable that practiced all 3 days this week, meaning Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Jonathan Ford, Jordan Morgan, and Carrington Valentine. So if you're looking at players who might be a little bit more ready to go, it's usually, again, the ones that practiced all week long. Now, I don't think they're going to probably activate Jonathan Ford in this one. A, the need is probably not there. And then even with Devontae Wyatt out, and then, again, more importantly, they probably just give him a little bit more time to recover. They have a 3-week window, and I would guess they just give him a bit more time. Jordan Morgan, just depends on how the shoulder's feeling. They could opt to give him one more week as well, but if he's ready to go, he could certainly be active in this one. And then Carrington Valentine, a great sign that he was active in all three practices, even if it was limited. I still think that's a very positive sign. I would lean more towards him going in this game. There were two players who were questionable in practice the last 2 days, Jaire Alexander and Elgton Jenkins. I'm leaning towards hoping and being hopeful that both those guys are going to play. Elgton said earlier in the week that he wasn't, you know, really worried about it and wasn't a big deal. And then he practiced the last 2 days, and Jaire practicing the last 2 days certainly seems positive as well. There's another player who was questionable in practice 2 days, but not consecutively. He practiced Wednesday, was out Thursday, then practiced Friday. That was Edrian Cooper. I think he's a more of a toss-up. And then there's one player who's questionable and did not practice at all this week, and that is Luke Musgrave. My guess is he will not play. So my predictions, I think Wyatt, Watson, Dobbs, Musgrave, and Jonathan Ford are all going to be out in this one. I think the two players who are true questionables, which I don't know which way to read it, I think Edrian Cooper and Jordan Morgan, I think those are probably very true questionables and could just be a coin flip or a toss-up one way or the other. And then I think there are three players who are questionable that are more likely to play: Jaire Alexander, Elgton Jenkins, and Carrington Valentine. Now, what would that mean for potential call-ups and who could play more and things like that? Well, with Devontae Wyatt out, I expect more Colby Wooden. I think we're going to get more Slayton, Clark, and Brooks, but I do expect to see Colby Wooden active and getting some snaps in this game. With Watson and Dobbs likely out, that gives you probably a huge game for your four primary wide receivers that are remaining: Malik Heath, Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, and Bo Melton would be the fourth. So again, Wicks, Reed, Melton, and Malik Heath, my apologies. And then you're likely going to have to call up one of the practice squad wide receivers, either Julian Hicks, TJ Luther, or Cornelius Johnson. And that decision will almost entirely probably come down to special teams, who can help you the most on teams. So they could feel good, bad, ugly, indifferent about any of those guys, but the one that probably gives them the most faith on teams is probably the one that gets activated. If Luke Musgrave is out, they probably will activate one of either Andrew Beck, who is more that fullback, H-back sort of tight end, more of that Josiah DeGuara type tight end, and then Messiah Swinson, who is more the Luke Musgrave type, tall, lean, more of the receiving style tight end. So they could go either direction there, but if Musgrave's out, Swinson could make some sense, but he just got back to Green Bay. But I think either way, you're probably good there. If Jaire or Valentine can't go, then I would expect Robert Rochelle to be up. And if Edrian Cooper can't go, they could. I don't think it's totally necessary, but they could bring up Chris Russell, the only linebacker that is on the practice squad. My guess is that we're going to see one wide receiver and one tight end called up on Saturday as part of your roster call-ups that they announce on Saturday. And again, one of Hicks, Luther, or Johnson at wide receiver, and one of either Swinson or Beck at tight end. That would hopefully be a good sign for the corners. But again, they might have to do some roster gymnastics if one of the corners can't play, if they feel like they need a fifth linebacker. Those are all going to be questions that need to get answered, and we may get a little bit more info as we get the roster gymnastics, whatever it is that they do on Saturday. All right, that brings us to our main topic, our main event, the one and only Romeo Dobbs. So let's go over sort of what we know. Per Bill Huber, Packers wide receiver, this is from his article over on Sports Illustrated. I highly recommend checking it out. Go and read it for yourself. Make sure to click the link. He was the main one who reported on this. He deserves the attention on it. He deserves the praise for putting it out there. So make sure to go and if you're not following Bill on Twitter, what are you doing? And two, make sure to be checking out his articles daily, because there's nobody that outworks Bill on the beat, just period, end of story. He is one of, if not the hardest working guys on the beat. So make sure to give him a follow. Make sure to check out his article. But this is per his report. Quote, Packers wide receiver Romeo Dobbs skipped practice over frustrations with his role. Quote, he was upset with his opportunities in the passing game, per sources. Dobbs practiced on Wednesday, but didn't show up on Thursday. The Packers were worried about Romeo Dobbs' well-being, and team representatives ended up finding him at his home. On Thursday, Matt LaFleur, of course, said, I quote, I would hope so, when asked if Dobbs would practice on Friday. However, he did not practice on Friday, and he is now listed as doubtful. In addition, Romeo Dobbs has seemingly removed all traces of anything Green Bay Packers related on his Instagram account. for whatever that's worth. The one thing I want to say here before we get into anything else, because I see people questioning it immediately, is I trust Bill Huber unequivocally in this situation. Like, I understand the worldwide view of the media and thing. Man, I get to work next to these guys. I'm close with Wes Odkowitz. Him and I will get together, watch some wrestling pay-per-views from time to time. Paul Bredel, love talking to. I'm not super close with any of these guys, but man, do I admire watching them. I get to sit in the press box right next to Huber, Domovsky, Schneidman, like all these guys are just in a row. I can't tell you how impressed I am and in awe I am of the work that those guys put in all throughout the week. Like, these guys are just hardworking. They're doing everything they can to get you the best Packers info possible. Tom Silverstein, obviously, Pete Doherty, like all these guys. There's no agenda here. There's no trying to pull one over. There's no trying to like, ooh, look at this clickbait story. Listen, everyone wants their stories read, but nobody's undercutting their credibility with anything that's fake or anything that's, you know, even misleading, and certainly not Bill. Like, that is just not the way he operates. Like, he gets everything he needs by hard work. He's not going to fake it. That's never Bill, and never, ever Bill, nor has it ever been. So I just want to say, I trust Bill unequivocally on this. There's no question. There's no doubt in my mind. The thing that's frustrating to me, and on all sides of this, and I tweeted it out late. It was either late Friday night or very early on Saturday morning, is the extremism that the reactions to this immediately take. Bill posted an article. He didn't even tweet about it. He just posted the article out there. And I immediately see people saying that Bill is lying. It's fake news. It's made up. It's a non-story. Like, this is like, and just slamming. But like, that's ridiculous. That is absolutely beyond ridiculous. And then I see the other side. Cut Romeo Doubs, trade Romeo Doubs. He's a bum. Who does he think he is? And we immediately jump to that extreme. And it's just like, can we just pause? Can we just pause and take a moment? And I get our main episode today is talking about the entire Romeo Doubs situation. For those of you who might be new here, or for those of you who followed me for a while, what I love to do is take these things and look at them from all sides that we possibly can. We can look at it from a hypothetical standpoint if this is, you know, I'm not saying it's not true, but if like, if there's more to the story, if there's not more to the story, if it is on the surface level exactly how Bill is reporting, we can react to all of that. I'm not necessarily against that, but this extremism of like, he's the worst human being possible, or Bill's wrong and he's, you know, just going for clicks. There's no way. I don't think either of those things are true. I just don't. But, and also, can we just let it breathe again for a second? I don't think that we need to jump to Romeo Doubs is a bum, cut him, let's get rid of him, any of that. I think that seems rather extreme for one piece of the story that we've heard so far. And that's what this is. Again, trusting Bill unequivocally, this is one piece of the story. We don't know all sides of it yet. We may never know all sides of it. And usually these things are very nuanced, and there's different sides to the story per most stories, right? And at the same time, I don't think we need to throw Bill under the bus and saying he's creating a story here when there's nothing there. I guarantee you there is something to this. I guarantee it. So again, I don't think either of those extreme sides are helping anyone. And again, we're not going to solve the problem. So we don't need to advocate for cutting Romeo or trading him. Like, if the Green Bay Packers feel they need to go in that direction, they will. We're not going to solve that anyway. And so I just feel like we immediately get into this. Let's pick a side. Either Bill's wrong or Romeo's wrong. And that's all that matters. Like, let's just let this play out a little bit more before we get to these extreme conclusions. Hey friends, I know week 4 didn't go Green Bay's way, but we are on to week 5, and that means another chance for a victory, and of course, another chance for some wins on Prize Picks. Did you know that you can win 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as few as 4 correct picks? Listen, Prize Picks is the best way to get in on the action, and what I love is that they always put their members first. That includes fast, safe, and secure withdrawals, and when my picks hit, I can get my money in as little as 15 minutes. So this week, I'm definitely going to get in on some WNBA playoff action. That goes without saying. But I also want to go with Romeo Doubs in week 5 in LA. Romeo is due for a big game, and some big time red zone production. He tore it up in training camp with his red zone ability. He is due, and I think he is going to get those touchdowns this week in LA. Whoever you decide to choose, just remember, you can download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's code PACKADAY on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game. What's going on, everybody? I am so insanely happy that football is back. And as excited as I am right now, I can't even begin to tell you how excited I am to be back at Lambeau Field. And this year, I'm going to be taking my oldest son to his first ever regular season game, and that moment is going to mean so much to me. Thankfully, as I search for tickets to the game, GameTime has a brand new feature called GameTime Picks that makes getting tickets to see your favorite teams play live even easier. I'm actually scrolling through GameTime right now as we speak, and there are two tickets exactly in the section where I want, and it's currently listed as one of their amazing deals. Section 137, two tickets, and it's just so insanely easy to navigate and find amazing seats at the best prices, plus have the exact view of the seats you're purchasing. I can see them right now. And my absolute favorite part, GameTime has the lowest price guarantee. You'll get the lowest price to the game, or GameTime will credit you 110% of the difference. So take the guesswork out of buying tickets with GameTime. Download the GameTime app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, P-A-C-K-A-D-A-Y, for $20 off. Download GameTime today. What time is it? GameTime. What we do know, right? Romeo was not at practice on Thursday or Friday. We know that to be a fact. The Packers called it a personal matter. Per Bill, it is due to the opportunities in the passing game, and he is frustrated. And we know that he was set to go back to LA this week to play where he played high school football. And there's a great story over, I believe it was one of the Milwaukee TV stations that put that out. Like, sometimes you get a little bit more anxiety. We don't know, but we don't know that side of it. But those are the things we do know. Wasn't at practice, was deemed a personal matter. Matt thought he was going to be back on Friday. He wasn't back on Friday. Per Bill Huber, again, frustrated with his opportunities in the passing game. And we know that he was set to go back and play in LA against the Rams this week. That's what we know. Regardless of how you want to look at this, it is a very odd situation. All right. So if you look at it from the target share, things like that, so far in 2024, from a target standpoint, Jaden Reed has 22 targets. Dontavian Wicks has 22 targets. Romeo Doubs has 20. And then Tucker Kraft with 17. Doubs is only two behind Reed and Wicks when it comes to targets so far. So we're not talking about like Wicks and Watson and Reed are at like 25 and Doubs is at seven. We're talking about two off the lead in targets through the first four games. From a reception standpoint, Reed is at 17, so he's higher. Doubs is at 12 and Kraft is at 12. They're the next up. Then Wicks is at eight and Jacobs is at seven. So he's second on the team in receptions. And how many routes that the receivers have run so far this year? Romeo Doubs is in the lead. He has run more routes on passing downs or on pass plays than any other player on the team with 124. Reed is at 106, Kraft is at 104, and Wicks is at 83. So he's had a ton of opportunity when running routes or to run routes more than any other player on the team. And when it comes to snaps, like how many snaps that they've played, Tucker Kraft has beat him out as a tight or like the tight end Tucker Kraft at 227, but he leads wide receivers at 224. He's played more snaps than any other wide receiver. By the way, 42 more snaps than the next guy, Jaden Reed. He's played 42 more snaps. That's like an extra game than any other wide receiver. Then you have Reed at 182, Wicks only at 154. Doubs has played 70 more snaps than Dontavian Wicks. Christian Watson's only played 126, partly due to an injury this past week, but he's played 126. That's almost 100 less, 98 less than Romeo Doubs. Luke Musgrave is at 108. Bo Melton's at 52, not even a fourth of what Romeo Doubs has got. And Malik Heath is at 21, a tenth of what Romeo Doubs has received. So you're talking about a player on this team who is basically, it's like, again, Reed and Wicks are at 22 for targets. So he's next up. He's third, I guess, in targets, but only two behind the leader. He is second in receptions, first in most routes run on pass plays, and first in snaps amongst wide receivers. And also, I think the bigger thing here, again, knowing if this is the issue that it's a, you know, he wants to be involved more, it is week four. We're 4 weeks into the season, not to mention two of those weeks were with a backup quarterback in week two. You basically didn't even throw the ball. And you had to do that out of necessity. It wasn't like, well, our receivers suck, we can't get them involved today. No, it was, we have a backup quarterback who got here 2.5 weeks ago. We need to run. And then, by the way, that running was massively successful, so you weren't going to stop. And when you did throw a jump ball down the field and give somebody a chance, who was that jump ball to? Oh, yeah, Romeo Doubs. So, like, if this is the case, it seems odd. We'll just put it that way. It seems odd at best that this would be the decision, that it's not being involved in the offense. Now, he did show up Wednesday, remember, and then he didn't show up Thursday. So again, we're just making a hypothesis here. I'm not saying any of this is for certain or anything like that, but is it a game plan situation? Wednesday is when you sort of get the game plan and, you know, where the targets are going and what routes you're running and who's going to be the again, primary player's game plan for. Is he starting to feel like, you know, maybe he thought he was going to be the guy and it's becoming more and more apparent that Jaden Reed is kind of the guy? Is he looking at somebody like Dontavian Wicks, who maybe had a little bit of an up and down game last week, and is saying, why is Wicks getting similar sort of targets, or why am I not being featured in a similar way? I don't know. Again, this is pure hypothesis on my part. I don't know the answer to it. I don't know what could possibly be the situation, you know, of why he would not be happy within this role in the offense. Now, I get this is a crowded wide receiver room. It's a crowded group of targets, and you've had a backup QB for 2 weeks. And I get how some of these players can get in their mind. Listen, all these guys are seeing the massive contracts that these big time wide receivers are getting. If you go and show that you're a true number one wide receiver, you're talking, you know, 25, 30 or more million per year. That's a lot of motivation. And if you thought going into the year you were going to be the guy and have an opportunity to put up those numbers, and you're now seeing, I don't even know if I'm the number two, I don't know if I'm the three, whatever it might be, I can understand maybe that got in his head a little bit. And again, I'm not 1,000,000% saying that's the case. I'm just going through this sort of hypothetically of what maybe could be going through Romeo's mind in this situation. As far as, you know, what else, like Dontavian Wicks got a pretty good target share this past week. Was that upset? I just don't know. I will say this. I saw this posted on Twitter before I even saw this. One of the first things I did, just because I was curious, is I went back and I looked at the scouting reports that I had for Romeo Doubs. I went and looked at Dane Brugler's from the 2022 draft guide. I went and checked that and saw, was there anything of off-field issues, you know, concerns of any of this nature? There was nothing in there. I went and looked at NFL.com scouting report because they usually get some of those things sometimes as well. Nothing in there. I went and looked at Tony Pauline's. Nothing in there. But then I did see from Bob McGinn's scouting report, quote, then this is from the an article he wrote up on, there was recently on Go Long about Romeo Doubs. Quote, one AFC scout told Bob McGinn that he deemed Doubs, quote, mentally frail before then, adding he wigged out at the combine. He had so much anxiety and apprehension that he stayed in his locker room or stayed in his room and never came out. He did not participate in the combine. After the initial day, he never came out. There was very much a concern that our scouts have, or that was very much a concern that our scouts had. Other scouts offered versions of the same takeaway, word of an anxiety attack spread. Now, why would I bring that up? I am not in any way, shape, or form trying to tarnish Romeo Doubs or say that he's a bad person because he had an anxiety attack or try to go against his character and say he's this, that, or the, I have no idea. I've never had the opportunity to speak with Romeo Doubs in my life. I certainly wouldn't jump to conclusions based off of an anonymous scout talking to somebody else. So why again would I bring that up? Why would I read that? Why would that be important? Well, the first thing here is if he does have trouble with anxiety, I don't view that as a negative. Anxiety is real. everyone deals with it in different ways. Maybe going home and playing in LA, maybe he wanted to go and have a big game and he was expecting to be super featured in the game plan this week with Christian Watson out. And maybe he saw the game plan and he was just another cog in the wheel. And that's not what he was expecting. Maybe this is another Jair situation. Maybe he was really hoping to be a captain for this week. So as he goes back to LA and maybe he wasn't going to be a captain. I don't think that's it. I'm just saying, like, we don't know, but people deal with their stress, their anxiety, their problems in different ways. And we don't know. And I don't know, maybe this was completely, maybe this was a really awful situation and that Romeo handled this brutally. And maybe the Packers are going to have to make a very significant decision on how they handle this moving forward. Maybe it's a one-off and maybe Green Bay is aware that, you know, there was some sort of anxiety attack or something here and maybe they handle it differently because of that. But the only reason I bring that up is to not, again, say that, look at, this is a terrible person. It's to say, apparently he's dealt with some anxiety in the past and maybe this is something that is affecting him again. And if so, my personal take on it would be, let's have maybe some grace and maybe he's dealing with some stuff and hopefully he can get through that and figure out a way to deal with it constructively. And I'm not saying he's not dealing with it constructively. I'm just saying maybe he can figure out a way to channel that and they can fix this, whatever has gone wrong and get back on the same page and it can be a positive moving forward that they work through this. I don't know. And again, we're working towards trying to put a puzzle together that we have one piece of a 300 piece puzzle here. So let's go though, because again, I like to cover this from all angles. Let's say that the story is true as is, and it is the story. There's nothing additional that Romeo just decided to sort of take his ball and go home and not practice with the team because he's upset he's not getting the ball more. If, and I want to emphasize, if that is the case, it's clearly extremely disappointing. And it does not make a ton of sense based on what we've seen so far this season. I will say, and I kind of mentioned it a minute ago, the Packers had to face head on a very difficult situation with Jair Alexander last year. Made himself the captain, kind of put himself ahead of the team, had a selfish moment, and the Packers dealt with it head on. They suspended it, and to their credit, they handled it the right way. To Jair Alexander's credit, he bounced back from it, took the suspension the right way and became a better version of himself because of it. I think the Packers learned from that situation. I think Jair Alexander learned from that situation. Hopefully something similar can happen here. Regardless of what needs to take place, hopefully they can come together, work it out. The Packers can be better for it and Romeo can be better for it. But they handled that last year. It was a very difficult situation and this could be another one. And if this is the case, the Packers would need to be extremely firm in their approach. And the question would become, is there an opportunity to make amends here? When a player does not show up to practice at all, and again, basically would potentially take his ball and go home and say, I'm upset because I'm not getting the ball enough or whatever it might be. Man, that does not set the right tone. That is not the right standard. That's not what this team is about. And Green Bay has a stable of wide receivers that they can go to. And it's not like if they, you know, had to move on from Romeo or whatever, that they're in just in no man's land. So they would need to, I think, be fairly firm in how they would handle this. Now, could Romeo end up out of Green Bay in a trade or a release? We'll maybe talk about that more in just a little bit here. But I don't think if this is as serious as it, again, potentially could be, I don't think it's, I don't think there's a cut. There's no cut possibility here. There's 0% chance of a cut. Could they trade him? If there is some true frustration on Romeo's side and the Packers are frustrated by how he handled it, yeah, I think that could end up in a trade. Now, of course, I immediately see, could there be a trade for Devontae? There's no trade for Devontae Adams. That is not going to happen. 0% chance, less than 0% chance. There is no Romeo for Devontae trade coming. I will gladly eat crow if that ends up coming back, but there's just no chance. They're not going to take on that contract. They're not going to bring back Devontae. They're not going to add a new receiver to this room. That it's just, there's no chance. So I already saw it popping up. You can ask away in the comment. It's not happening. Could this be much ado about nothing? Hopefully, maybe. I don't know. It doesn't seem like much ado about nothing. It seems fairly serious, But I don't know how this could be much ado about nothing. I don't know how it could just be, because again, there's no way that Bill's reporting on this and it was actually like, oh, nope, his sister was sick or something. I don't even know if he has a sister, but like, nope, he has a family member who was sick. I don't see. So there was clearly some frustration and angst. Could it be something where Romeo came in frustrated and Green Bay maybe said, hey, take a day at home. Let's revisit this. I don't know. But it feels like there's something there. And it's probably not a great situation one way or the other. And I think then the question becomes, well, what's the best case scenario? I don't know that it's that different from the Jair situation. You address it, you attack it head on, you set your expectation for Romeo moving forward, and then he has the opportunity to either say, yep, I'm on board, or no, screw you guys. And I give Jair a ton of credit again for saying, yep, my bad, I'm on board. I'm not going to say screw you guys, I'm going to be better. And now Romeo would have that same similar sort of opportunity to sort of figure out, do I want to be a part of this? Whatever small part, medium part, or big part that is, or do I want to go in a different direction? And is this going to continue to be an issue? So what could happen today on Saturday? There's a variety of different things. Romeo could show up back to the team, apologize, get on the plane. Whether he plays or not is maybe indifferent, but maybe just goes to support his team, or maybe they figure out a way to play him. I don't know. That would be one scenario. Number two is Romeo doesn't show up again. The Packers could theoretically put him on a reserve, left the team list, and say he's not reporting to the team, and that would open up a roster spot, could allow them some more roster gymnastics on Saturday to be able to call an additional player up if needed. Romeo could not show up, and they could just do nothing and just make him inactive on Sunday and sort of deal with it next week. The Packers could tell Romeo, just don't even bother showing up to the plane, or you just stay home and we'll talk next week after the game is done. They could suspend internally Romeo Doubs, or, I don't see any world in which, again, there's 0% chance he gets cut. Clearly he's not just getting traded on Saturday. So there's not going to be anything like that, but they could go in a variety of different directions with this, including again, suspending them, putting them on a reserve, left the team list. Maybe he could still get on the plane, or maybe again, they just tell him to stay home. Those are all options on Saturday. What it could mean for Sunday, we know the Packers are going to go with Reed, Wicks, Melton, and Heath, and then probably call somebody up from the practice squad. I think this doubtful is probably more like out for Romeo Doubs. I would be stunned if he played in this game. I'd be pleasantly surprised if they worked something out and he was able to, but I don't see that happening. Even if he does, if there is any, again, smoke to this, like, you're probably not playing him, right? You probably either deactivate him, or he's going to have to sit and watch everyone else, or just didn't be in when it's a run blocking play. But you're not going to like all of a sudden feature him in the offense because of this. That's not going to set a good precedent. I think Tucker Kraft and Josh Jacobs are going to have to be very involved. I think the great news for Green Bay is, even without Doubs, Watson, maybe Luke Musgrave, the fact that you can go out there without those three and still put a five-man weapon group with Jordan Love of Josh Jacobs, Tucker Kraft, Bo Melton, Dontavian Wicks, and Jaden Reed, like, that's pretty ridiculous that you can put that five out there with no Musgrave, no Doubs, and no Christian Watson. So they still have the bodies that they need to. They have Malik Heath. They have Emmanuel Wilson. Ben Sims can be a part of this. So they still have as much weapons as they need to go out and win this game, but the loss certainly would be felt. And then, I think the frustrating and disappointing aspect here is, this feels like it could have actually been a pretty significant Romeo Doubs game if he just played in this one. I think that's what's really frustrating, is with no Christian Watson and, potentially the need to throw the ball a bit, this could have been a significant day for Romeo. And now he's probably just not going to play. That, I don't see how that helps anything for anyone at any time for any reason. And I think that's what's so frustrating about this. What it means long term, can they fix the relationship? I doubt it's too far gone. They were hoping that he was going to show up to practice on Friday. He didn't. Where that goes from here, your guess is as good as mine, but the first thing they have to do is figure out how to mend that relationship. Do they decide to move on? Do they decide to trade him? Green Bay does have a pretty deep stable of wide receivers, probably some other positions they could use, and there is not a lack of teams that could use a wide receiver, from the Ravens to the Commanders to the Bills to the Chiefs to the Cowboys. There are plenty of teams who could use a wide receiver. Do you swap it for a player, get somebody else at a different position that could help you? Or is there a receiver on a different team that maybe is also looking for a change of scenery, and maybe you just swap the two? I don't know. But if it is as bad as it could be, then yeah, you could theoretically look at that. And then, you know, again, they don't necessarily need it, especially if Watson is not a long-term injury. You can go the rest of the season with Watson, Wicks, Reed, Melton, and Heath and not be super disappointed by it. Like, you still have a good group of wide receivers, not to mention Musgrave, Kraft, Josh Jacobs, Emmanuel Wilson. Kind of saves you potentially from having to make that decision down the road of like, are you going to give Romeo Doubs a contract or whatever? You can probably just get ahead of that now if you wanted to. And again, this is all jumping to conclusions. This is all hypothetical. This is all in the realm of if this is the story that he did walk out, didn't go to practice, and is frustrated, then these are the decisions that you're ultimately going to have to make. My hope here is, number one, that Romeo is okay and in a good spot mentally. And whatever he is dealing with, whether it's anxiety, whether it's frustration, whatever it is, that he is, again, okay in the right state of mind and can hopefully work through this situation, whatever that may entail. I hope that this is a similar situation to Jaire Alexander, where they have a meeting together, they get on the same page, they might need to suspend him a game. If they do so, understandably, and Romeo responds to it, comes back better than ever, and goes out and has a great rest of the season. And my hope is that Romeo still has a significant role within this team. But I will say, this is all true. Packers are going to have to be very careful navigating the situation, because that can be a distraction. It can be a situation where if they don't handle it right, it could fester. Other players could then be like watching how they handle this. This is a very young team, so precedent can be important here. I think they're going to have to navigate this very, very cautiously. Now, clearly, this is a developing story. We'll stay on top of it as we kind of get more information. Kudos to Bill Huber for reporting on this. Make sure to, again, check out his article over on Sports Illustrated. Again, my hope is that there's a way through this and that they can work it out and get back on the same page. Romeo Doubs should be a key piece of this team moving forward. I don't know if that still can be the case. I certainly hope it can be, but we're just going to have to kind of take this one day at a time. And I just, again, plead, let's not jump to any crazy conclusions. I'm not, as we go through the options of what could happen, I'm not saying anything should happen. I'm not saying the Packers should trade or cut Romeo. I'm not saying that, like, let's just let this play out a little bit. Let's let it breathe a little bit. Let's try to get some more information and then react to it more when we have the details that we need to comment on it, quite frankly. So again, my goal today was not to jump to any conclusions. My goal today was to go over what we know for sure, what's been reported. And then if this is all the story, if this is what it ends up being, what could potentially happen from here. So that's where I'm at with it. Hopefully, again, this is reconcilable and you know, it isn't just a lost cause. I don't think it's going to be, but Green Bay, Romeo Doubs have probably some work to do to get this back going in the right direction. And mostly, hopefully this isn't a distraction for the remainder of the team. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. We'll be right back here tomorrow with a pregame show as well as a live pregame show that will likely take place at 11 a.m. on Sunday morning, Central Time. Then we'll wrap up before noon kickoff games, and then guys can watch the noon game, the Packer game, and then I'll be back as soon as the Packer game is done with a live postgame show as well. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Mo State of Minnesota, and PJ Wynn, John Wild, Che Bradad, Brendan Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handel, Donna Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Dan Miller, Alex Huang, Arnaldo Espinosa, Peter Itaka, SoCal Pack, Dan Guestford, Love and Football, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, and Jay Foreman. I will see you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.